Like to say good evening to all this evening. Glad to see everyone out. And I want to thank the brethren here for allowing me to come before you with the lesson this evening. And it's something that I don't have a PowerPoint presentation. It's something from God's Word, so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Or what you can do if you want to know what the scriptures I'm using, I'll be more than glad to give them to you after the service is over. This evening, we want to look at something that is happening in the church. Not only here, but throughout the brotherhood. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says what they were doing were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. The Lord added to the church. Even back during that time when it was happening, there was apostasy. And apostasy is something of falling away from God or from his body. And you know, the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, don't add anything to God's word. Moses said this, and don't take anything away. Also in Revelation chapter 22 and the verses 18. So tonight's lesson is going to be headed to why do some depart from the faith? Why do some depart from the faith? We're going to be looking at some scriptures here. Some I have written down and some I'll go to the Bible about. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verses 1 says, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits or deceiving spirits. The doctrines of devil. Doctrines taught by demons. And the reason why is because people will start listening to something that is not true. And also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible says, and forsaking of the true faith in Christ, as it is revealed in the gospel. And people are doing that. And there is someone that sits in Rome that holds a position of a pope who sits upon the throne, or sits there, feel like that he's God. 2 Timothy, also chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, in other words, the last days began with the birth of Christ. Perilous times shall come, crucial times, troubled times, apostasy in the church age. This coming of apostasy in the church age is here now. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is part of the attitude that man has developed over the years. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are doing good. In other words, if you're doing God's will, people don't like you for that when you're trying to live for Christ. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy there. From such a people like that, you turn away. Depart from the faith. because that's what they are doing, giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrines of devil. In other words, the character of none of this is the way Christ would have us to live. A person's life, when they do what these scriptures has this is talking about right here, that's not the character of Christ right there. I want to also read something from the book of John. We'll start about verse 53 in John's gospel here. Verse 53, and when Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat and drink, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. We're talking about spiritual life and spiritual food here. Verse 55 says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, and even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he to, said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61 says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? And they did see him, because in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he did ascend. It is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64 says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, and believed not. And who should betray him? In other words, these men have already decided that they weren't going to do this because it was a hard saying that he was talking about. Verse 66 says, and he said, therefore, say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, how to be saved and how to live is what he had. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, are we sure? Because many people will turn back and go another direction. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we see here that there is something about someone who are people that did depart from the faith. also too. You know, the lust of the eyes have a lot to do. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And I say to them, let every man among you put away the disgusting things to which his eyes has turned, and do not make yourselves unclean with the image of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In other words, worshiping of another god, idolatry is what he's talking about here. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. Worship God only is what the Bible says. In other words, this is part of the Ten Commandments right here. Also in Genesis chapter 3, and we've been talking about this right here a lot. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Eve listened and looked. Eve's first mistake was allowing the devil to speak with her, especially when it became apparent that he was opposite of what God had told them not to do. Verses 1 through 5. Eve not only listened, but she looked upon the forbidden fruit. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life, is of the world." We can very easily go back to those worldly attributes that perhaps maybe we were out of, came out of one time when we obeyed the gospel. Eve's fall are played out each day in our life and many people. People listen to the devil. They look at what he offers. They desire. They commit shameless acts. They lead others astray, and they try to hide from God. Much of the drug problems is simply people trying to hide from God. People would rather go to drugs and alcohol, in other words, not to do anything to what God would want us to, what want them to do. In other words, it's not important. I'm gonna get this off my mind, so I'm gonna medicate myself through drugs and alcohol and other things that they do also too. Adam and Eve sinned, had many consequences. And at last, the door of opportunity for sin was open. Genesis chapter 3 is talking about the fall of man. Also, Romans chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, where it's basically talking about sin was through Adam. Salvation is through Christ. However, what was lost through Adam and Eve has been regained through the obedience and sacrifice of God's Son. Let us, as Christians, look to Jesus' example, not Adam and Eve. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps." Verse 19 of Romans 5 right there says, "One man's obedience, one man's disobedience." And when we disobey what God wants us to do, we fall away from what God would have us to do. What can cause apostasy in the church? I want to read something from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. I'll turn over here to Ephesians chapter 4. And most of us know this right here. And verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ." He used those men to prepare us so that they could teach us what we need to do so we can all come into the unity of the faith. Verse 14, it says, "For we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." In other words, when we don't come into the knowledge of the truth, we can be led away very, very easily. And these are things that we have to watch out for as Christians, because we will be tossed to and fro by a lot of doctrines that people are talking about in society. You turn on your TV or you talk with some of your best friends, you know, they'll come up with something about, you know, you should try this, or you should go here, or you should go there. Go to this church, you know. When you start doing that and you're following what they're talking about right there, then you can very easily fall away from what God wants us to do. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." But see, when we can't be in the same mind and the same judgment when one is named this name by this name, another one is named by another name. That's not the same mind right there. When we have our friends, I know many of us probably do have a lot of friends. I know people that are in denomination, good people. But when it comes to talking about something about the church and why is it named this or why is it named that, then that's where we have our differences right there. Even with our family, there are a lot of family members in our families. You can have a great time. But when you start talking scriptures and somebody will say, "Come on over to so-and-so Baptist church, Church Regarding Christ," then we have to beg the difference right there, because we know as Christians that these are names here and things that happen to people and they start going in that direction. And if we don't watch it, and I've seen this happen in times past when people will do it, especially with new babes in Christ, they are not fully rooted and grounded in God's word. And then they get in a conversation with someone and they'll talk to them and say, "Okay, well, you should come over here. We have this program going on. We have that program going on. And we have these groups and things that we get together. We study in someone's house, or we study in someone's basement, or whatever the case may be, up under the tree or whatever." I mean, you can do these things here, but everybody has to be in the same mind here of doing what they're doing. And a lot of the things that they're teaching, it's not biblical. Also in Acts 20 and verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So this is why it's important for us to have leaders in the church so they can teach us what we need to do and the way to go. Also, verse 30 says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Whenever you have someone who is a leader in some kind of way, and if you don't question what they're saying, they can also start leading in a direction where this is not scripture right here. And as long as you know your Bible, you can question those things, or you should question those things. Well, brother so-and-so or whoever else, where does it say that we could have a praise group, a praise team, and all of these things right here? Or where does it say we don't have to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Why do we have this? Why do we have the piano? Why do we have all of these things that are not written in God's word? And then you have to be able to come up with an answer also too. So therefore you have to study God's word. And you're not going to be wrong about it if you know how to combat these things, because it's going to happen. And especially when we used to work with a lot of new converts in class, and what they would do in church, and they would come and say, "Okay, well, you know, I went to my friend over at whatever denomination that they name. And you know, over there, it seemed like that they're having a real good time over there. You know what I mean? The music instruments and everybody's jumping, and that's the spirit of the Lord right there, you know." Well, that's a spirit. But that's not the spirit that we're talking about. It's what the scripture is talking about. What you're doing is doing what someone else is doing. You're trying to fit in with them. I remember a brother and I went to a denomination after we had had our church services. And this lady that I worked with, you know, she was very strong in what she was into. And we sat there and we observed what was going on. The little kids was doing the same thing that the mothers was doing. They were watching the mother as the mother would jump and shout and everything, you know. And so he kind of hunched me and said, okay, well, look at this, brother Reed. What's going on here? Is that the spirit? No, that's not the spirit we're talking about right here. That child was about, 7, 8 years old. And yet, I guess she had been told that she had the spirit when she was doing that. But a lot of time people are following other people, and that's what's leading them in the wrong direction right there. So, you know, also, there are other things too that we have to watch out for also too. And what can apostasy cause in a church? It can cause persecution and false teaching. You know, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Acts chapter 8 and also Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. He thought that he was doing God's will by putting men and women in prison. And matter of fact, that's what he was on his way, was take people to Jerusalem so that they could be put in prison when this light shine in his life, and he found out that he was doing the wrong thing. And finally, it came to Paul that this was something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, and so Paul himself had to give that up. Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 11. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. When you obey what the Lord wants you to do, you're going to be hated. People are not going to want to talk with you. They're going to do everything they can to say things against you, and you have to endure that. And you can defend yourself. But if you don't have anyone to stand with you, then you're by yourself. If you have someone to stand with you, then it's good, because people can help you and you can help them say what the scripture is saying. Verse 10 says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Families, loved ones in our family, mother and father against brother and sister, or grandchildren, or whoever else in your family right there. It can cause a lot of division. If you love mother, father, sister, or brother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. This is what this gospel can do. Verse 11 here says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And that's bad. One of these prophets arrive and people come out and they'll say things against what you're trying to do. And if you're trying to study with someone and they get involved with someone who is trying to get them back, then that's really bad. I can remember a time or two when we went to a denomination and we taught them the gospel. And there were two people that obeyed the Lord. Once they heard it, they came to our congregation. They obeyed the gospel. And because this denomination is very strong, they came over to where we were and they got them back. How they did it was, okay, you know that you had some kind of position. They had some kind of position. I've forgotten it now. It's been so long ago. What one of them did, I think the lady was a secretary or something. And that was something right there that they played on, you know, are you a secretary over here? And the man, I think, was doing something else there. And they kept talking with him and her, he and both of them. And finally, they went back into the denomination. Haven't heard anything since then. I mean, that's been many, many months. It's been a good 20 years ago, so I'm not really sure what's going on or what happened with that. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, whatever it comes to, people that you know, when you're trying to do what God would have you to do, you may not have any say-so in their life anymore. Also, apostasy in the church, temptation. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. They on the rock, and they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and the time of temptation fall away. That temptation is when you hear something that's different and you don't believe what you have heard, and you go back or you fall back into whatever it was you came out of. Worldliness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are a lot of people who like to joke, or they like to use these different quotations and things from what they have learned, and they use these things. And if you are not familiar with what they're talking about, that's a slow way of winning you back to the world and doing the worldly things. Defective knowledge of Christ. 1 John 2, verse 9. He that says he is the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. We have to go and talk to our brother, or we can't say I love Christ, or we've never seen, or we hate our brother, who we see every day. These are things that God wants us to be honest about within ourselves. These things can cause a person to go back into the world and the worldliness and the things that we have done at one time. I don't like so-and-so because of this. I don't like so-and-so because of that. As a brother or sister, if there is something that I may not understand about that person, I need to talk with that individual, or that individual need to talk to me. In other words, if there is something that I say or something that I do, then you need to come to me. That's what we need to do, is go to each other. Because when we don't do that, we leave it undone. And we'll go places because we didn't like someone because of whatever reason, and we keep that going, and we haven't solved the problem. Because see, all of us are going to have to stand before the Lord at one time. And then we're going to have to give an account for those things. You have an opportunity to go to that individual and express what's on your heart. Also, forsaking worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, when we don't assemble, we miss out on a lot. And it may be something that is said from the pulpit or from somebody that's encouraging you that would help you grow more. I want to grow more in my attitude, in my relationship with my brother, with my sister. So this way I can have a relationship with the Lord also too. Each one of us are trying to make heaven our home, and we're not going to make it if we have that attitude of, well, so-and-so is going, we're not going to make it, but I am. Selfishness, this pride, all of these things that go along with that. No, God wants, it's not God, Christ's will that anyone would perish. Yeah, we don't all have the same type of education, or we don't have the same type of background, but God loves all of us. And we're trying to do the best thing so that we might be able to be in God's relationship when we do leave this earth. Also in Hebrews chapter 3, unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, unbelief. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Also in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 10, where the writer there said, prophesy and speak unto us smooth things. In other words, I don't want to hear what I need to hear, but you'd say to me smooth things. In other words, you can tell the people what they want to hear, and that's not going to work either. So these are things right here that we need to be aware of as far as apostasy and falling away. And there are some Bible examples of this. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I had set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and not performed my commandments. And it grieves Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night, Lord, please forgive him, because we know that Saul did do some things that he shouldn't have done. And one of the things was with David. David was anointed, and Saul was trying to kill him. Jealousy, envy, all of those things that a person would be shameful for in front of God. Alexander, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have having put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck. In other words, we know the story of what went on with that and how this man didn't do what the Lord wanted him to do. He fell away. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's what they were doing. Demas, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas, having forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, and Titus to Dalmanus. Solomon, we know that he also went back. When you read 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 10, the wives that he had, the idolatry and all of the things that he was doing. The Israelites in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 35, we know the incident with the golden calf. Certain men in Jude, verse 4, crept into the church unnoticed. These are things that we want to make sure that we know about. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66 shows many disciples leaving Christ after they cannot digest some of more difficult teaching. This was before the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. And you know, when we was reading that, and it was spiritual what he was talking about, but they said that was a hard saying. They couldn't digest that. So that's why they went back. In other words, I can't stand for, I'm not gonna eat anybody's blood or drink anybody's blood. Well, you know, Jews couldn't drink blood anyway. I'm not gonna eat anybody and things like that. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about something that was spiritual. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 describes believers who are eagerly abandoning Christ and their faith. Talking about the preaching here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, many will fall away in the end of time, going after the teaching of demons. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 warns us to stay on guard against false teaching, but can cause us to fall away from the faith. These verses, we learn apostasy has been a problem in the church and continues to be an issue till the end of days. It's always going to be something, because someone's going to come up with something and say that this is new, or you don't have to do that. The following are some of the ways you can detect a fellow member of the faith falling away. What happens is they will twist the scriptures and pervert the truth to fit an agenda. They live a life different than a Christian. They often mark by pride, flattery, causing division, and focus on things of this world than the things that are above. And these are just a few things here, brothers and sisters, that I have. I've prepared other things also too, but I'm not going to get off into a whole lot of this right here too. But just to finish this up right here, it says, when teaching someone about the gospel, it's hard not to invest a bit of yourself into one you're trying to teach. When you're trying to get someone to understand what's going on, you know the importance of being a Christian, and you care about the one that you're teaching. If you didn't care about them, then why would you spend all this time with them? It is great joy to see that person respond to a message, yet it's equally hard to see that same person leave. And leaving, you know that they, two chances out of one, will never come back. Of course, you can still pray for them. We got relatives, friends, and loved ones that we are very, very concerned about. Some leave because they never fully give themselves to God. And then there are those that that found their way for a while and then they went back. Troubled times, adversity, persecution caused them to revert to old ways back into the world system. They are Christians. Some of them are Christian only in name. It does not reflect itself in their life, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They say one thing, but then they do something else. And then we know in John 6, Jesus picked up a number of followers after feeding 5,000, but they only followed for the food. John 6, 26. When Jesus did not continue giving food, they left. And these things do happen to a lot of people whenever they see that this is not convenient for me anymore. They're not rooted and grounded. And so I just want to, you know, caution us and people that we know to help them not fall away, because when we do fall away, we're giving up everything. You come a long ways and you don't want to give this up. So I just want to caution us to be aware of those things. I feel like that everyone in here is pretty well solid in God's word. But then there are family members that we have that may not be so solid. But I just want to encourage you to encourage them. If there's one here tonight that needs to come and get the prayers of the church, you can do so. If there's something that is happening in your life that you want the church to know about, you have an opportunity to come and to make it known as we all together stand and sing the song of invitation.